Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello everybody, welcome to my podcast this week. Well, there's just Joe Biden's gone into White House now, so it's now called President Joe Biden. And it's such an only event, really. Everybody was expecting a lot of hoo-ha might be happening. But now it seems to be quite quiet. Went over without any glitch. So good for America. But the other things, though, on the other hand, the markets have used that excuse to make a new high again. And it did really well, I suppose. But then after Wednesday, when President Joe Biden actually became a president, the prices sort of came down a bit on Dow Jones. So it's not much big fanfare or something happening. But it looks like at least the markets is okay with the whole thing. But on Friday, suddenly there's a little bit of hiccups and come down about 200 points or something, which is fine. But there seems to be a bigger hoo-ha in Hong Kong. Came down like 480 points or something on Friday instead. So we just have to wait and see. Apparently, I think because it's near the end of the month, there'll be rollover contracts and stuff at the end of the month to next future contracts and stuff. So got to be a little bit volatile. But the other big thing that happens the past week basically on obviously Tuesday, Janet Yellen was giving testimony as a Treasury Secretary for U.S. And the way that she actually say things is very encouraging for us. She's basically saying America to do whatever it takes to help American people, which is great, and also bring the American economy coming back up. But from a Treasury point of view, that means it's likely to be a lot more money coming out, a lot more U.S. dollars got to be printed on top of what I believe is President Joe Biden actually said in his plan about this 1.9, I thought it was like 1.2 before, but it's 1.9 trillion US dollars package. That is just like his first step at helping the American economy to try to get back on his feet. However, from what Jenny Yellen is actually saying, it will be a lot more, I believe. And that is basically good for gold. Essentially, American US dollar will be weakening. Now, we don't know when this whole policy thing will come out, but let's give a benefit of doubt to President Joe Biden for the first 100 days, maybe, 3-4 months. Everything will be quiet. Everything will still be, good, or so to speak, for the president. So I think near the end of the year, second half of the year, they'll start seeing his policy being rolled out, the way they help the economy, put money in people's pockets so they can go spend, or at least buy food, that kind of thing. So, and then US dollars will basically will hopefully weaken a bit further. So it's good for us as trend followers because we see this fundamental thing that might be happening, extra money being thrown around, and this money have to go somewhere. And it's likely to go into anything that's related to American dollars will have to go up just because the purchasing power of the US dollar is ever diminishing. So that means like all the foreign exchange against US dollars, gold, silver, crude oil, grain, wheat, that kind of things, they'll be all probably going up. So this year, basically, I think watch out the exchange rate, the US dollar index, which I'm buying on about for a couple of months now already, probably a bit more. And I think there's definitely a lot more to come. So this year, my personal big goal is gold and silver. But I think at the same time, I'm watching crude oil as well, just simply because of the US dollar weakness. And slowly, probably that is a play for next year, 2022 as well. So we just wait and see. But the other thing also happened on Wednesday, which is the same time, I think, President Joe Biden got sworn into the White House, is Jack Ma. Apparently, there's a video coming out from China congratulating, I think, 100 or 200 Chinese teachers about the things about teaching and stuff in a rural countryside or village, something. And But that's the first time that Jack Ma showed his face or have a video about him about 2 months now, since the November hiccup of Ant Group that didn't go on to onto the stock exchange in Shanghai, as well as in Hong Kong. They had a failed IPO, so to speak, and then pushed back from the Chinese government about the way he think of, you know, old rules or new rules about the financial economy or regulation within China, that kind of thing, or the Western world in general on that fact. And he suddenly show up, and Hong Kong's Alibaba share price, as well as US Alibaba share price, showed up quite a lot, actually. And then coming back down again. But the thing is, this is what I don't understand the market. We just again show how the market is not efficient and it's driven by emotion. It's, oh, just because Jack Ma show his face somehow, looks okay. Somehow people think that's a good thing for the company. And then the price of share just gone up. Because initially everybody worried about Jack Ma may have got locked up or in jail somewhere, not able to move, whatever. At least it's showing some sort of video. Well, we don't know when the video was done, how it was done or whatever, but at least there's some sort of sign of Jack Ma is about. So people got a bit of relief about it. But overall, it hasn't changed the fact that China hasn't come up with any rules and regulation to say how the e-commerce should be managed, like antitrust kind of thing, as well as how Ant Group overstepping its place, you know, on financial markets in China, how it should be regulated, how the Chinese banks should, you know, treat Ant Group's, you know, financial instruments, you know, what type of money they need to put aside when they work together with Ant Group for lending money, small loans, micro loans to consumers, that kind of thing, and how to regulate from a regulation point of view. None of that has been actually put on the table yet. All we heard is a lot of noises that there's some regulation changes, but what is the actual detail is still far from clear. And then so suddenly Alibaba share price just shoot up above 200-day and 50-day moving average, and then on Thursday and Friday it just came back down slowly again. So as if this initial jubilance of Jack Ma showing his face, you know, help Alibaba's share a bit, but I don't think fundamentally any changes other than Jack Ma showing his face, and then the price of share just gone up. So it's no fundamentals behind it. It's a lot of human emotion, and I once again show how the market is driven by emotion rather than efficiency. So efficient market hypothesis in the economy. Economics is totally out of whack, and basically I don't believe that kind of thing anymore. But it's a good example to show how things actually works, that kind of things in the stock market. And so this year, basically Joe Biden coming in, we see how it goes. His first year, most likely get a lot of, you know, honeymoon effect, and see how he actually start doing things. So first year, maybe he still get a lot of brownie points, and basically blame everything onto President Donald Trump, and we see how it goes. And on the reverse, President Donald Trump, or ex-president, will have a bit of a tough year. I think I'm not the only one who read the news, but there's a lot of news outside to say how Donald Trump will face a lot of financial problems because of the lawsuits. So from a Chinese point of view, when we look at it, Joe Biden will inherit whatever Donald Trump has given him, left behind, left over for him. And Donald Trump himself will have a lot of leftovers from his own action. And we'll see how it goes on this year. I think this next 12 months, we'll just have to see how much of his ongoing being reported on the share, on the news, so that kind of thing. I think we have a quite a tough year this coming year. All these lawsuits has been sort of lined up against him, and he had also the second impeachment process going through. That's I think designed to just to voice, you know, the concern of the government, as well as try to stop him from coming back in the next election time to try and get himself re-elected for another term, another 4 years as U.S. president. So that's basically what's happening for the last week. But out of that, for me personally, I said earlier, it's about, you know, the weakness of the U.S. dollar. But the other thing also worthwhile to point out is, I think I talked about last week, I mean 2 weeks or so ago, I say watch out on the Bitcoin, and it's going to be, you know, a bit of crazy, going to be crazy. And I think that was like 2 weeks ago on the podcast. or last podcast I should talk about it, and then the Bitcoin actually going down on Monday, and this we are basically the past will continue to go down as well. So it's very much looks like, if you look at the curve, it's very much like back in 2017 when the price of Bitcoin go to like 19,000 or something parabolic, something really really quickly, like up like 70-80% degrees, that kind of thing. And then suddenly on the following year, 2018, it just gave it all back, slowly giving it all back. If you look at the chart itself, it just looked very similar to that time. So for those people still high on Bitcoin, beware. I think it come back down to like 30k or something, and it should back up a bit now. I think on yesterday when I checked, IG index is about 32k. But yeah, it was up to what, a week or so ago, 41,000, and now it's like down to 30k, 32k. So it's like a whack, like 30% change within 2 weeks or so. So this show how volatile things are. So just as I have mentioned before, if you are, you know, trading any shares, crosses, indices, whatever, the market just can turn on its dime, and then you just have to get out when your stop loss is hit. Don't care about what everybody else says. Your system actually tells you what to do, and to follow the system. But if you haven't followed the system, then yeah, you might still be in Bitcoin rather than getting out of it. So medium to long term probably still there's up case, but short term definitely turns sour, turns to sales at the moment as well. The other things that's worth mentioning, I saw really affecting UK and Europe, the Brexit, you know. For the British, I think for the British government anyway, it might be a good thing that it gets its own way now, so it's away from EU, but it already causes quite a bit of problems. First of all, you probably heard on the news that there's a lot of lorries are so stuck on Dover, couldn't go over to France because of change of rules, and presume the same thing for from France or in the continent in EU, how, you know, some of those ports, seaports, couldn't get the lorry over into UK as well. So it's because extra basically paperwork and red tapes, and also these red tapes nobody knows how to do and what things to be done at the same time. So from the UK side, it's a lot of, you know, seafood export, meat export from UK into Europe, and a lot of it, you know, is perishable. Basically it lasts maybe a week or so, and if you, or even a few days for seafood, if you don't, you know, send it across the destination, you'll just get rotten and thrown away. Remember, UK have been inside Europe for what, 70 years or something, you know, or whatever. It's a very, very long time kind of thing. Basically all the systems has been streamlined, you know, going through very efficient, but then suddenly you have this year, you know, coming out from at the end of December, basically 2020, to actually come up from EU, there's lots of process need to be reestablished and get to be getting used to, and system being getting reset. So a lot of things gonna be a bit of issue. So as far as I'm concerned, like for me, the local food is more expensive. So in UK, definitely I can see a lot more inflation coming in, simply because the supply takes longer, and then the cost of going through the goods and import or exporting the goods. And this affects also delivery. So if you buy things from Amazon and it's delivery from EU somewhere, let's say in Spain or France or whatever, sent from Europe, I think they also have a bit of problem, like this is maybe extra VAT need to be paid and so forth, and probably take a double. And for me, like I try to order some books from Hong Kong, from China, but unfortunately they took the UK country out of as a destination country, because they use DHL for fast delivery. They have no idea how much they actually got to pay for transportation, as well as delays, as well as local taxes, extra taxes on off since the Brexit. So this is going to affect the UK market in general, and I just wonder how the market will go stand up with, at the moment everybody in UK FTSE 100 has gone up, just like Dow Jones, just like Hong Kong, Nikkei in Japan. And we have a quite unique situation that on top of the COVID-19 issue, we have our own UK issue with the Brexit. And FTSE 100 still continue to move up. Just have to wait and see how that might affect the British pound. You know, it's good that in one sense, British pound against US dollar might go up, because US dollar is weakening, but we have our own unique set of issue, both in the and Britain, as well as in EU. So the British pound and the euro, we need to watch out on that as well, because I think the interaction of this Brexit thing is good on one hand, but also not good for on the other hand. So we have is good or bad for both of these currencies. So if you do foreign exchange for these two, just watch out on it. But this year for me is definitely a big year for gold and silver. The other thing I look at, let's say Brent, crude oil, grain and wheat, maybe copper as well. Forex, definitely anything that against USD. But I think from the biggest thing from the Forex is if you look at US dollar against the Chinese yuan, Chinese dollar, and you can see from July onwards, the Chinese dollar has been gaining strength against US dollar. What does that mean to me basically is we have US dollar being sold down and used to purchase more Chinese dollars. So to me that means like there is a lot more people or the US dollars from US most likely, and then just going into China through Hong Kong maybe. I think that is the main point of view, going into China for investment. And then the Chinese dollar is getting higher and higher. I'm not sure is it just for trade, but I think mainly for investment. That is also another view it's January now, everybody talk about goal setting and stuff, but generally I think it's also another year to look at the continuation of the gain of the Chinese dollar, Chinese yuan, that a foreign exchange with US dollars is something, probably take a breather. It's been up 30% or so this year or something, or last 12 months is quite a lot. And I think they probably take a breather a bit, but maybe near the end of year when the US government, through Joe Biden and his initiative, spend more money to help his economy, the US dollars weaken further. And we can see more weakness in the US dollars, more US dollars going to pump into the world. Everybody with those money, the bankers essentially, will try to find somewhere for those money to try to get better return than you can put in a bank. You know, in Europe, you go negative interest rate. And I think so is Japan. UK is hardly anything. Americans not doing that well either. It's close to zero. And the only thing that's still having a bit of a positive interest rate, I say in China, we get 2 or 3% or something, and it's still well above everybody else, of course. And of course, you got the middle class, the big, huge middle class. That's, I think, double the size of US population, something about half a billions or something, you know, 300-400 million minimum. And that's going to have an effect about its purchases, you know, what you want to buy, where you want to go, where you can study, and all sort of thing. So I think it will continuation for this year, 2021, as well as also beyond. I think just China and as well as India, in the sense that the people population grow, the middle class grow, just continue to drive the fundamentals, basically drive the patterns of, you know, the needs of study, the need of entertainment, the need of foreign travel, the need of buying foreign goods and services. It just go to continue that way. Just simply there's more people out there in China who purchase those things, and they have, of course, rising middle class with rising income, and that definitely, you know, move things along. And given the rest of Europe or the rest of the world, I mean, probably the West side, still in sort of pandemic mode, recovery mode, and Asia, led by China, is continuing recovering, already recovered. And from the last year, from my IMF, already said China maybe it's the only country that have a positive GDP growth, 2% or something, 2.3% or something, coming out last Friday. So overall, I think the for next year anyway, as well as the US dollar weakness to watch out for, it's also growth of the Chinese market. You continue to strengthen, and a lot of this extra money, it's not just US, I presume, you know, from Europe, from UK, you know, all this extra money printed out, it's got to go somewhere, and a lot of it, I think, end up in the Chinese market. So for the Chinese market, not the US government, through Donald Trump stopping the US pension fund one way or another to invest in China, through some of the shares listed in US and not directly able to invest in China. I think it's a mistake because I think there's definitely high growth coming. Maybe it's a bit slowed down somewhat, but it still grows much better than in US in China. So we just have to wait and see. So this is the end of my update for this week, and we'll talk about my portfolio coming up next. Okay, first come first is Apple. And basically it's buy for the short term and buy for medium term and buy for long term as well. So it's just effectively just turn, because the last week Apple just shoot up. Basically just that's how the market plays. You know, we have no much idea why the Apple gone up other than after Wednesday when the President Joe Biden is sworn in to the White House, become the head of the America, and all the shares seems to have gone up a bit. You know, I talk about on Wednesday, on my podcast initially, that Wednesday have gone up quite a bit. And we just wait and see what happens. It come down a little bit on Friday, but Apple's gone up. So short term, medium term, and long term is all buy. Same thing as change of short term sign as well for Amazon. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is a buy. So it's getting there. Next, US dollar against Australian dollar against US dollar, no change again. It's basically buy across the board. Short term, medium term, long term is all buy. What happened this week with the US dollar index is actually went down to 90.10 or something, you know, bordering coming back down to 90 or below 90 level. So yeah, they're just good for basically just show US dollar is weakening, and then all the other crosses against US dollars actually going up a bit. So and still around 0.77 mark here and there. It's not much changes, so it's gone sideways quite a while. So just continue to watch it. Brent crude similar. I take Brent crude and as well as WTI crude oil is short term, medium term, and long term are all buys for these two. So basically crude is buy, been for quite a while. The rate of uptick is very little. It's up and down a bit, and just very, very slowly, you know, or plateau, so to speak, but it's still moving up ever small, ever slightly. And the US dollar index, you know, moving up for the last couple of weeks, you know, back about almost as high as 90.1 or 91, yeah, didn't actually do much to it and still continues trajectory. So now with the US dollar index back close back down to towards 90, we'll see how it goes when it's going to break the 90 mark again. Next is DAX. Short term, medium term, long term is all buy. Same as last week, no change here. Brits basically haven't got much changes to the overall Europe stance on DAX anyway. So we just have to wait and see. Next is Dow Jones. Like I said, this Wednesday, last Wednesday, seems to have gone up quite a bit. But in a major, I think 200 points is just average. But it still continued this upward trajectory. So from November, when it's very strange, you know. Initially, before the US election, everybody say if Joe Biden won, then the stock markets go down. Say, you know, basically, President Donald Trump is good for the market because he have done that. You know, seems to have showed the last 4 years when he was in the White House, you know, stock markets continue to go up, blah, 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 blah. So everybody was quite negative towards Joe Biden before the US general election. That's like October time, September time. And then we have the election coming. Just before that, there's a little jittering about, you know, Joe Biden might win or something. And then the market, you know, the 200 Dow Jones touches the 200 moving average. And basically just from first of November, that's the bottom, and just continue to go up. Haven't stopped since, and just continue to buy. So as if somehow suddenly Joe Biden is good for the stock market. So this is another thing about stock market. It's news driven, and people's news or way of thinking is just like can turn on its dime, on its head. So all this financial news, whatever you read, all those, you know, financial companies reports and things just change on the dime. So as you as an investor, if you don't have a system and follow your own system, you don't know what happened. 1 minute the market stays down. Next minute, use the same argument but turn the whole thing upside down and say it's good for the market and it's gone up again. So you always remember, stick with your systems, your price, basically the price of the end of day in this case, is the feed into your systems to tell you what to do next. You know, don't ever just listen to all this like talking box on TV. They don't even know anything more than you do. You know, even though people are actually in the system might not know exactly what happened day to day. You know, how the hell the financial news know about it? You know, a lot of guesswork, a lot of just smoke screen. So just watch out. And the Dow Jones seems to have legs, and they say before we give 100 days, you know, honeymoon period to Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, and we see how it goes. So we just have to watch out on index. Next is FTSE 100. Buy for short term, medium and long term. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I just don't see how the Brexit hoo-ha, the little teethering issue, it's going to help FTSE 100 initially, at least for this year. I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, teething problems, setting things back and forth between continents, from UK as well as Europe, as well as the US and other part of the world, because nobody knows what to do with the taxes or delivery charge, whatever. With, you know, FTSE being UK outside the outside EU now, you know, all the rules have changed. All the efficiency that's been set up for the past 20, 30 years, whatever, it's all gone out the window. So this year, we just have to wait and see what happened to FTSE 100 because of that effect. Next is gold. Short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, long term is also neutral as well this week. It's slightly changed for long term. Basically, the US dollar index have basically shot up recently, gone to like 91, I said. And the gold hasn't gone down much. It still stay around 1820 area, US dollars that is, and we cover a little bit now, so around to 1850-1860 area, so which is good. So long as stay above 1850, I think as it still will be good. I think it's so far it seems a battle between that number 1850, so it's gone down to maybe down to 1820 or even close to 1800 area, but seems to be holding. So we just have to wait and see what happens. With the US dollar index seems also reflecting, in my view only, that Joe Biden might help the US dollars initially, you know, this 100 days honeymoon effect, I keep on saying. But on the long term, I still feel the US dollars index is just going to continue to go down because of what President Joe Biden has pledged. You know, $1.9 trillion of stimulus package. That's the first one. And Janet Yellen, came out to actually say, oh, we will, Secretary of Finance, and we continue just, you know, losing this wallet, so to speak, and working with the Fed to basically put more money into the system to help the economy to recover. So all this will be bad for US dollar index. It's just very much recurrence of what happened in 2007-2008. When the economy is bad, yes, the US government loosens its purse string, it pushes the US dollars down, make it US dollar weaker, and therefore whatever US export will help to lead of the recovery of the US market economy. We just have to wait and see what actually happened this time around as well, but that seems to be the general stuff. And here's my view of, you know, US dollar index going down, gold goes up, quid oil goes up, that kind of thing. So something to watch out for. Next is Hong Kong Hang Seng index. Short term, medium and long term is all buy. So this one is doing do a catch up to the Dow Jones. So it's broken the 30,000 mark on Friday, on Thursday, I believe, or Friday, and this thing just reversed, you know, and couldn't hold above the 30,000 mark. So I think that's just first try. 30,000 is just psychological big mark, you know, anything 1,000 or 10,000. In this case, 30,000. You got to cast your mind back in the stock market, just like US as well as around the world, you know, back in like at the start of 2020. Hang Seng basically is slowing down already back in since 2019, but US dollars, US Dow Jones index is like 29,500 kind of area. We have the pandemic, and then the Fed basically pump more money into the system, and then we end up the year in Dow Jones basically up above 30,000, and UK is just in this case Hong Kong index just barely trying to catch up then. So I think we'll probably try again to break the 30,000 mark. Will we actually stay up there? I don't know, but something worth to watch out for. Next is NASDAQ. No change from last couple of weeks, basically, or even a couple of months. It's buy short term, medium term, long term, so it's still up. Nikkei, same as Dow Jones. This one's been up like November as well. Basically, short term, medium term, long term is buy. Silver, foreign is cashing in gold. Short term is sell. Medium term is neutral. Long term is a bit buy now. So it looks like when gold go up, silver doesn't go as much higher, higher as gold and percentage wise. But when it comes down in gold, silver also seems to hold its ground, so it doesn't go down as much. So I think that's, if you compare the two attractions, you don't want that much of volatility. Silver definitely less volatile, but it's always dragging behind gold as well as cousin. So just to do a wait and see. Next is US dollar against the Chinese dollar, Chinese yuan. Sell across the board, short, medium term, long term. This will be more or less continue for a long time, especially long term view from July last year. US dollars just weakening against Chinese dollars, just still will continue. Like I said before, there is in histogram, MACD histogram, there is a slight bearish, bullish divergence happening with the histogram, but it didn't lead to any significant weakening of the Chinese dollar back above 50-day moving average, not even trying to break above it. So it just basically show you that the strength of US, the Chinese dollars is so strong, even though the US dollar have recovered a little bit and just gone sideways at the moment. So we still have continue to see what happens next. Next is US dollar against Japanese yen. Buy for short term, medium term is neutral, long term is still sell. So not much change from last week, essentially. Next is British pound against Japanese yen, and British pound against US dollar, both buy. So short, medium, long term is buy. So I said before, I don't quite understand how this whole thing works. The British pound is still strengthening, even though we have quite a bit of teething problem with Europe. And we just have to see with the economy, you know, lockdown and so forth. But the pound seems to be still good. So we just had to wait and see on that one. Next is Bitcoin. Short-term sell, medium-term is buy, long-term is still buy. So like I said before, in a space of about 2 weeks, we lost like 30%, 25-30%. And that is how volatile Bitcoin is. And for that to actually, well, some people say, you know, it's something that will overtake gold and kind of thing. I don't personally take it, you know. For me, the asset test for Bitcoin, basically, I would say is, I mean, like gold. You can go to any country to sell it, and you can still buy things from the local market. You know, or go to a bank and get change some money to buy stuff from local shops and stuff. And you take a Bitcoin and go to a local shop to buy a thing. Yeah, you probably can, that kind of thing. But then how does that really work? Like, you can just buy anything, you know, like a cup of tea, buy some toilet roll, have some potato or whatever food from local food stand. It's not that widespread. But yeah, you have, you know, it's not controlled by any country, that kind of thing. But it also can be manipulated. And I just think, personally, I just still haven't got my head around Bitcoin yet. But as a market to trade, this is a volatile market, very, very volatile market. Can lose, you know, 20-30% within weeks. And in this case, you already seen for the past couple of weeks. We'll just also show you how bad it can be. Also, this charts that always show you this parabolic uprising. You know, it's just never last, and the same thing. So similarly on this one, you know, just watch how, learn from that experience. Okay, so don't get too carried away by all these people bull on Bitcoin. It can just go up and down as much as just anything else. Next is TLT FTSE, TLT ETF. It's basically sell for short term, medium term, long term. So it's cross the board sell. So effectively that it just gone sour for the last, you know, couple of weeks, so to speak. Just a little wait and see. Next is Tesla. Continue to buy across the board, medium term, long term, and short term. If you look at Tesla, it feels to me anyway, it's a bit like Bitcoin at the moment. If you have taken into this 4-to-1 split from back end of last year, and you draw the curve and graph, look at it, 2020. or some major, it's a fantastic year. People write about 700% increase or something, but it's definitely huge increase, and the rate of increase, the slope of increase, is so much like Bitcoin. So I don't know when it's going to boil over, who knows, but it could be quite volatile, and probably not as much as Bitcoin, but do watch out this parabolic up. It's just like gold back in 2011 and silver as well, when it's just major move up, you know, just have what you can happen for 1 year, and you catch that, great, you make loads of money, but for it to continue for the next couple of years, it's rather difficult. And because the rate is so steep, this year for me anyway, my initial hunch is, you know, Tesla is go sideways, but what do I care? I'm a trend follower, I'm just following the trend. But that always tickled my mind in the right way to say, be careful of this Tesla share or any other share that goes or crosses go like that. Good thing it never lasts. It may last for a year, maybe even two, and then you will just, you know, go trip sideways or come back down very quickly as well. So just watch out. So at the moment, Tesla is still a bull across the board, but do watch out. 2021 might not be a year of Tesla. Okay, next is Australian index. Buy across the board is rather slow, plateauing just like Brent crude and crude oil, but it's still moving up slowly. So we just have to wait and see. So short, medium term, long term, we still buy. Last but not least, Alibaba. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. So you see, this is the type of thing. This is what I say about trend following. If you step back and look at this. Last week, if you have listened to my podcast, if you listen to end of it, you will know that Alibaba is actually gone from a short term, from a sell to buy short term, okay? Short term system, which basically is 2 ATR system. And this week, suddenly, you know, Jack Ma shows up, and then Alibaba, zoom, showed up so much, you know? About like $15 or $20, some funny thing within a week or so. You actually see, you know, there is some people somehow know there's a change, you know, in the market, something's happening, somebody have got some news somewhere and actually buy beforehand, and then it shows up in the trend following systems. And then suddenly, zoom, it just jump. And then we find out, oh, Jack Ma is coming out with a video. So probably somebody knows about this. Be like earthquake, you know, some animals can, or cockroaches or grasshopper, whatever insect, can feel that some changes in the environment, electromagnetism or whatever, it just, they move it to, you know, get out or something. So for this case, you know, Alibaba, for this one, nobody knows what's going on. All we talk about Jack Ma a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, where's Jack Ma? Especially last month, everybody was talking about, where's Jack Ma? Suddenly, the price moved a little bit, boom. And this past, you know, last Wednesday, suddenly he shows his face. We cannot tell if that is Jack Ma or not from the video, but on YouTube and so forth, on Facebook, but it did move the market quite significantly, both in Hong Kong as well as in US. And somehow, the price of the share have moved beforehand, before the news of Jack Ma's video show up. Basically say Jack Ma is safe, he's still there somewhere, just lying low key or so forth. So this is one thing now, this one thing you must remember. The market, there are so many different type of people actually in the market. They do change, you know something, and they try to get into the market, and then the price actually will change over time and tells you something well before the news comes out. So in this case, you follow my podcast and got into Alibaba last week, and you make some money by 2-3 days, and Wednesdays are just gone up, you know, $13-$14 like that within the space of a week. Yeah, you know, this is the type of thing that I want to emphasize on people. Your system will tell you there's something changed in the market. Follow that system and then only find out the reason behind it. Don't even worry about the reason. Somehow people will tell you later on, but it will be months later. By the time you know about the actual reason, the price of shares or index or forex already gone, already moved, and your system have told you before. And that's why you don't doubt your system. Take every signals. Sometimes in this case, it looks like, what's going on, you know, are you sure the system, you actually check the system, are you right to give me a signal? And then suddenly, boom, the share price gone up, or the cross or index, what they gone up. You only know the facts afterwards. That's why for us as trend follower, never miss a trade, every trading signal in that sense. When the system say go in, because there's a change of a trading signal going. Sometimes the most unlikely one making money. Sometimes it could be a long term, could be a short term thing, but it will make you money. So, but unfortunately, the problem for us, the strength for us, we don't know when it's going to show up. Okay, so it's like flipping a coin. You can guess all the time, tell. You might say tell all the time, but you don't know the sequence of the tail showing up. You'll be mixed up with some heads. So for us to, you know, to actually win using trend following systems and to have the actual performance as on the paper trade when you test your trend following system is take every live signals. Okay, don't deviate. Just like you've done that in your paper trade. Just because you put money on the line, your emotion play up, screw up your brain, doesn't mean that you don't follow your system, don't follow your process. It does takes time because it takes a lot of training because the money screw up your mind, screw up your emotion. But you know, there's something that you need to learn about it. And the more you learn about trend following system, eventually, in my view, you're not learning about the system. You're learning about yourself. You're learning about, are you disciplined enough to follow? Are you learning about keep emotion out of it? And especially good thing about and trend following is so mathematical based. And I'm being a software engineering background in university, I'm okay with maths, you know, quite okay, you know. That give you more, you know, the way you more logical reason to find out how to train the kind of thing. It's appeal to logical mind with your trend following system. First systematic, rule based, you just follow the rules and cover all scenarios. It's not perfect. It's not gonna cover everything, but when it does work, you know, it goes pretty well. And a lot of time because it takes out the guesswork. You just use your formula say go do this, after you plug the number in, do that. Over long term, it's a bit like a loose glove. I keep on saying before, you know, my previous podcast is this loose glove, it's gonna fit everything, you know, but not gonna be comfortable with everyone. Depends on size of your hand, but it's a glove that will cover your hand, okay? And whole idea is to make money. Don't try to like, nothing against the trend, the day trader and stuff. All these people on YouTube say, oh, how I make a million so quickly, or 100,000 whatever in one trade, that kind of thing. For us, it's a slow way of doing things, but you definitely make money. But remember, making £1 is still make money. Making a million is still make money. Of course, everybody wants a million quid, you know, like no time at all. But, you know, don't snare at making one pound from your trade. Remember, a lot of times in your system might not even work. Okay, a lot of trade that your signal is giving you might not work. And it's actually making money, don't snare at it. Okay, however little it is, it's still a quid if it's £1, or meaning it's still one money, however you look at it. So take a long term view, take every signals, and you'll be on your way. That's the central message for this week. So I'll talk to you next week, and bye for now. Happy trading and stay safe. Ciao.